Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer and the Mirisch Company presents Yul Brynner, Eli Walla, Steve McQueen in The Magnificent Seven, co-starring Charles Bronson, Robert Vaughn, Brad Dexter, James Coburn. Music by Elmer Bernstein. This picture is based on the Japanese film Seven Samurai. Screenplay by William Roberts. Produced and directed by John Sturges. Horses charge into a sleepy Mexican village, their hooves kicking up dust. Two of the villagers peeling the skins off a heap of corn cobs look round at the approaching riders. The riders file past huts without walls, while the villagers look on with apprehensive expressions. In a thatched shelter, a boy turns to his father with a terrified expression and points at the approaching horseman. His father, Sotero, ushers his wife and child away, then watches with a stone-faced expression as the riders charge into the village. The other villagers are doing the same, frozen in their tasks of harvesting the crop, as the riders pass a small church and congregate in the center of the village. The leader, Calvera, dismounts and approaches Sotero.
Sotero, my good friend. How are you?
He hugs him, but Sotero remains standing stiffly. Calvera douses his face with water from a clay jug.
You have a drink? I can't tell you what a pleasure it is to see a village like this.
The men are helping themselves to supplies.
Sandoz! So much restlessness and change in the outside world. People no longer content with their station in life. Women's fashions, shameless. Cigar. Religion. You'd weep if you saw how true religion is now a thing of the past. Last month we were in San Juan. Rich town. Sit down. Rich town, much blessed by God. Big church. None I hear. Little church, a priest comes twice a year. Big one. You think we find gold candlesticks, poor box filled to overflowing? You know what we found? Brass candlesticks. Almost nothing in the poor box.
We took it anyway.
I know we took it anyway. I'm trying to show him how little religion some people now have.
Thought I could see for myself.
Calvera slaps him.
Don't see. What if you had to carry my load, huh? The need to provide food like a good father to fill the mouths of his hungry men. Guns, ammunition. You know how much money that costs? Huh? Huh? No. The days of good hunting are over. Once there was horses, cattle, gold, fruit from the trees, no more. Now I must hunt with a price on my head. Rallis at my heels.
He stares at Sotero, anger burning in his eyes.
I'll be back.
He puts on his hat.
Enough!
He takes Sotero's cigars, then strides away.
We get the rest when we come back.
Calvera mounts his horse, then glances around.
I love this village. I know you'll have your problems.
Murderer! Get it!
A villager charges at him with a machete, and Calvera shoots him down. His wife clutches at his lifeless body.
Stupid. Stupid. We have to have another discussion very soon. It's always a pleasure to hear the views of my good friend Sotero.
Calvera holsters his gun.
Maybe when I come back, huh? Adios!
The gang head away in a swirl of dust. They ride up a sloping path and out of the village through a narrow pass under a gnarled tree. The villagers watch with impassive expressions as the horde thunders past them. A woman runs over to the weeping wife and puts her arms around her. Sotero and some men gather up the body.
Ayuda, Nemetelo.
They carry the body into a thatched dwelling while the other villagers, dressed mostly in grimy white clothes, come closer and watch with sober expressions. Sotero comes out and stares into the distance in the direction the riders had taken.
If he steals our harvest again, we might as well cut our throats and be done with it.
Leave the valley. That's what we must do.
Live somewhere else?
Take our homes with us? Our farms?
We could hide some food.
From Calvera? He never steals all our food. He leaves us enough to go on with.
That's something. We could beg him to leave us a little more.
No. That would make him more angry. I don't think we should do anything.
We must do something. Like Rafael, talk sense.
We break our backs in the fields, and our bellies stay empty. We must do something.
We must do something.
But what?
I don't know.
The villagers hang their heads in despair.
We'll ask the old man. He'll know.
Fight. You must fight. Fight.
With machetes and bare hands against guns?
Buy guns.
Buy?
Go to the border. Guns are plentiful there.
What are we going to use for money?
The old man fishes in his pockets and brings out a small cloth bag. He opens it and takes out a gold watch on a chain.
Sell that. Anything else you can collect?
Even if we had the guns, we know how to plant and grow. We don't know how to kill.
Then learn or die.
Now the three villagers are riding on ambling horses into a nearby town. Two cowboys standing on the porch of a saloon glance at the strangers as they ride by. The Mexican villagers glance at each other as they make their way down the main street. Some of the townsfolk throw them curious glances. Two well-dressed men carrying suitcases cross the street and approach a waiting carriage.
Hey, I've been waiting for you. Oh, you did a wonderful job.
Yeah, I'm sorry, friend, but there'll be no funeral.
What?
Oh, the grave's dug, and the defunct there is as ready as the embalmer's art will make him, but there'll be no funeral.
What's the matter? Didn't I pay you enough?
It's not a question of money. For $20, I'd plant anybody with a hoop and holler. But the funeral's off.
Now, how do you like that? I want him buried. You want him buried. And if he could sit up and talk, he'd second the motion. Now, that's as unanimous as you can get.
Friend, you behave like a brother and a Christian, but you just don't
understand. Now, look. I'm not looking for any praise. I'm a traveling salesman, ladies' corsets. I'm walking down the street and a man drops dead right in front of me. For 2 hours, people kept stepping over and around him without lifting a finger. I'm just doing what any decent man would.
Come on, Henry, let's get on the
stage. No, wait a minute. This man has to be buried. And soon, he's not turning into any nosegay,
no,
you know.
I know. I would if I could, but there's an element in town that objects.
Objects? To what?
They say he isn't fit to be buried there.
What?
In Boot Hill?
Well, there's nothing up there but murderers, cutthroats, and derelict old barflies. And if they ever felt exclusive, brother, they're past it now.
They happen to be white, friend. And old Sam? Well, old Sam was an Indian.
Well, I'll be damned. I never knew you had to be anything but a corpse to get into Boot Hill. How long's this been going on?
Since the town got civilized. Oh, it's not my doing, boys. I don't like it. No, sir. I've always treated every man the same, just as another future customer.
Well, in that case, get that hearse rolling.
I can't. My driver's quit.
He's prejudiced, too, huh?
Well, when it comes to a chance of getting his head blown off, he's downright bigoted.
Well, get somebody else.
There isn't anybody else who'll drive it. So here.
Oh, hell. If that's all that's holding things up, I'll drive the rig.
The tall stranger, Chris, strides over to the hearse and climbs onto it.
Can I borrow that scatter gun?
No. You're more than welcome.
The second man, Vin, takes the gun and heads over to the hearse.
Hey, now wait a minute there. Listen, this hearse cost me $840 in Denver. It's the only one in the county. I'll be darned if I'm going to turn it over to strangers to be shot at.
I'll pay for the damages. I want to see this.
Me too.
Vin to Chris.
Never rode shotgun in a hearse before.
He sits beside Chris and loads the gun. Chris sticks a cigar in his mouth and lights a match from the sole of his shoe. Vin and Chris share a wry smile.
Letterbug.
Holding the reins, Chris steers the horses along the street, while Vin keeps the shotgun at the ready. They head towards the edge of town, the main street abruptly ending and giving way to the vast landscape. The three villagers look on with the other townspeople, following Vin and Chris along the street with the crowd. Vin to Chris.
New in town?
Yeah.
Where are you from?
Dodge. You?
Tombstone. See any action up there?
Tombstone?
Same. People all settled down like.
Same all over.
Engine lovers!
Easy. Just wind. We'll get there.
It's not getting up there that bothers me. Stand up there that I mind.
A young cowboy, Chico, overtakes the crowd and nears the hearse.
Coming up behind us on the left.
Chico waves his hands with a smile.
I don't think so. Second story window. Curtain moved.
I'm not in a good position. Let him stick his neck out.
A shot's fired from the window, and Vin returns it.
You elected?
No. I got nominated real good.
Say, boys, why don't you just turn around right now? Save yourself a lot of trouble.
Soon, huh?
Chris notices a posse of men up ahead, guarding the cemetery.
The reception committee's forming.
Five men stride in front of the cemetery gate, two of them holding shotguns. The hearse approaches the cemetery, Chico keeping pace with it.
Hold it. Hold it right there.
The men have formed a line across the entrance.
Anything wrong?
The townsfolk gather at a safe distance to watch.
turn that rig around and get it down the hill.
Two of the men turn their guns on them, but with lightning speed, Chris shoots them in the arm. Chico watches in awe. The two men drop their guns. Chris turns to the onlookers.
I need six men up here.
The townsfolk talk among themselves. Then six men step up and stride over to the hearse. The wounded men cradle their bloody arms while Chris lights another cigar. Chris stares at the men intently, and the wounded two step out of the way. Vin levels the shotgun at the others. Chico is jubilant. The men carry the coffin into the cemetery.
Boys, the drinks are on me!
Vin and Chris drive the empty hearse back towards the town. The Mexican villagers exchange a glance amongst themselves, then watch the hearse as it swings into town. Chris slows the hearse to a stop, then he and Vin get off. A man runs over to them with a bottle of liquor.
Hey! I'd like to buy you a drink, and your friend too.
Chris uncorks the bottle and takes a swig.
Thanks.
Where you from?
He gestures behind.
Oh yeah. Where you going?
He points ahead.
Thanks for the free show.
You're more than welcome.
Boy, that was really something. You know, I won't forget that if I live to be 100.
Henry, the stage is leaving.
All right. Wait till Flora hears about this. You know, she won't believe one word of it.
Henry, the stage, come on.
Hey, you keep this.
Chris hands the bottle to Vin.
Whoa, wait a minute.
The man gets into a stagecoach with his friend. The stagecoach charges out of town, raking up the dust. As Vin and Chris watch it leave, Vin takes a swig from the bottle.
Where are you headed?
I'm drifting south, more or less. You?
Just drifting.
Any action here?
Yeah, grocery clerk bouncing one of those bars across the street, if that's your taste. Yeah. Well, see you.
Say, what's your name?
Make it Vin. What's your...
Chris.
Chris sticks a cigar in his mouth and crosses the street while Vin rides off. Chico has been watching thoughtfully. Later, Chris is in his hotel room. He takes off his holster and slings it to the side. Chris looks warily towards the door and unfastens the buckle on his holster.
Yes?
The door opens and the three Mexican villagers file into the room, their hats in their hands.
We think you're a man we can trust.
Thank you very much.
We wish you to help us. There's this man, Calvera.
A thief, a murderer.
He and his men, they steal our food, and then they leave us to starve. Not only that, but our women.
Oh, wait, just a minute. If you need protection, why don't you go to the rurales?
We did, twice. But they can't station men in a small village for who knows how long. So they left. And when they left, he came again, Calvera, and every year since. And he will do so until he is stopped.
Sit down.
Two of the men sit down. The third stands between them.
We need help.
We must buy guns. We know nothing about them. Will you buy guns for us?
Guns are very expensive and hard to get. Why don't you hire men?
Men?
Gunmen. Nowadays, men are cheaper than guns.
Will you go? It will be a blessing if you came to help us.
Sorry, I'm not in the blessing business.
No, we offer more than that. We could feed you every day. And we have this.
What's that?
We can sell this for gold.
Everything we own. Everything of value in the village.
I've been offered a lot for my work. But never everything.
Would it be enough?
You see, if we could drive the bandits away, life could be very good in our village. But as it is, we ourselves could stand it a little longer. But the children, they cry because they're hungry.
Now, do you understand what it means when you start something like this?
We will fight too, every one of us.
When Calvetta comes, the church bell will ring the alarm.
We'll fight with guns if we have them. If we don't, with machetes, axes, clubs, anything.
Once you begin, you've got to be prepared for killing and more killing. And then still more killing until the reason for it is gone.
We understand.
We've considered that.
Now, does every man in the village feel the same?
Every man.
I'll see what I can do for you.
Gracias. You know what...
Now, wait. I didn't say I'll go. I'll just pass the word around that you're looking for men.
It won't be hard to find men here. Everyone wears a gun.
Sure. Same as they wear pants. That's expected. But good men? That's something else again.
How can you tell they are good?
Their ways.
A little later, the Mexicans are sitting at a table expectantly. Chris turns to the door.
Come in.
Chico enters.
The word is out you're looking for men.
That's right. Men who are good with that.
I'm good with it.
Fast?
Try me.
I aim to. Step in closer. Hold your hands like that. A clap. Faster. As fast as you can.
As he goes to clap, Chris brings out his gun quick as a flash between the young cowboy's hands. Chris holsters his gun, then raises his hands.
Now you try it.
Chico watches Chris's hands. Chris claps, then again. Chico still hasn't had time to reach for his gun. He looks at Chris with a shame-faced expression. Bristling with anger, Chico turns and runs out of the room. Chris lowers his hands and sits on the table, pouring a drink from a jug.
Very young and very proud.
Yeah, the graveyard's a full of boys who are very young and very proud.
Chris puts down his drink and stands at the side of the door.
Come in.
The door swings open. Chris looks to the Mexicans, but they return with blank expressions. Chris goes round to find that there's no one in the doorway. Warily, he steps outside to find a man standing by the wall.
No tricks now, Chris.
Harry! It's good to see you again.
Chris.
What are you doing in this dump?
I heard you've got a contract open.
Oh, not for a high stepper like you.
A dollar bill always looks as big to me as a bedspread.
Well, it's just eating money, Harry. A gold eagle, room and board, 6 weeks gunning for some farmers.
You old Cajun. You don't talk so good, but you always know what's going on.
Now, Harry.
Con permiso. All right. All that's on top. What's underneath?
Only what I told you.
Gold, cattle, payroll.
Only what I told you.
Oh, sure, never mind. Just tell me when you can.
Harry. Please don't understand me so fast.
I said, never mind. I'm in. Dirty dog.
It's evening. Vin rides up to a saloon, gets off his horse, then strides through the swing doors.
It's a good.
He ambles over to a gaming table.
Five.
then takes off his hat and takes some money from inside.
Hey.
He's about to lay down some money, but hesitates. Chris is sitting at a table with the Mexicans.
The cowpoke that just walked in and the stovepipe chaps. Have to buy him a drink.
Yes, sir. Valgame Dios, there's one. Look at the scars on his face.
The man for us is the one who gave him that face.
Hey, you learn fast.
Next man coming up.
Finn lays down some money and shakes the dice as the waiter approaches him. He rolls the dice. The dealer takes his money.
Next man.
The waiter to Vin.
Gent over there wants to buy you a drink.
Vin glares at the dealer, then saunters over to Chris's table.
Vin?
Howdy.
Like to buy you a drink.
Whiskey.
Got anything lined up?
Yeah. I'm gonna take a job in a grocery store. Fella says I'm gonna make a Cracker Jack clerk. Cracker Jack.
And that's your taste?
I did hear of a job below the border shooting some flies away from a village, but I can't find out what it pays.
$20.
A week?
6 weeks, the whole job.
Well, that's ridiculous. You heard of anything?
Yeah. Below the border, shooing some flies away from a little village. Their village.
Pays $20.
Looking for men right now.
No, I wouldn't even pay for my bullets. Ours is a poor village.
We understand. You could get much more in a grocery store, and it's good, steady work.
Yep. How many you got?
Chris raises one finger, then Vin raises two. Vin and Chris ride across a field with a vast mountainous landscape stretching out behind them. They arrive at a small homestead and tie their horses up outside. A man emerges from the front door.
Looking for a man named O'Reilly.
Don't know his name. There's a fella in back chopping wood for breakfast.
They go round to the back where a lean, muscular man is chopping wood. The man has his back turned towards them.
Morning. I'm a friend of Harry Lux. He tells me you're broke.
I'm doing this because I'm an eccentric millionaire.
There's a job for six men watching over a village south of the border.
How big's the opposition?
30 guns.
O'Reilly turns to look at them.
I admire your notion of fair odds, mister.
Harry tells me you faced bigger odds in the Travis County war.
Well, it paid me $600 for that one.
He said you got that Salinas thing cleared up in less than a month.
Paid me $800 for that one.
Cost a lot.
Yeah. That's right, I cost a lot.
The offer is $20.
O'Reilly shoots them a dismissive glare, then gets back to chopping wood. Vin and Chris walk away. O'Reilly hesitates and turns back to them.
$20.
Vin and Chris turn back.
Right now, that's a lot.
Where can I reach you?
Right here.
Vin and Chris mosey on while O'Reilly continues chopping wood.
I still say he can.
And I tell you he can.
If he claims that, he's a liar.
Hey, not so loud. He might hear you.
I don't give a damn if he hears me or not. I got 2 months' salary coming. I'll bet it all it ain't so.
Well, you ain't betting with me.
Me either. Look, I'm telling you what he said, and I believe
him. Well, one of us is a fathead.
You can get good odds on which.
Ha, ha, ha.
The man, Wallace, crosses over to a man sleeping on the ground against a fence.
Fred, wake up. I'm talking to you. Look at me.
Britt tips up his hat and looks at Wallace.
Colleen told me what you said, and I say you're wrong. What do you say?
Britt covers his eyes with the brim of his hat.
Ha ha ha! What's the matter, you afraid? Afraid to tell me I'm wrong?
Britt tips up his hat again and gets to his feet. He fixes Wallace with a lingering stare, then saunters over to the end of a fence near a hissing steam train. Britt places a small cup on the fence and points to one of the cattle trucks the train's pulling. Wallace ambles over to the cattle truck and stands beside its open door. Nearby, Vin and Chris arrive and watch the proceedings. Britt gestures for Wallace to take a step sideways towards a post.
Call it.
A cowboy fires his gun into the air. Wallace shoots the cup off the fence behind Britt, while with lightning speed, Britt throws a knife which buries itself in the post beside Wallace.
Well, you see, I won. Well, how about it?
Britt takes his knife and puts it in his back pocket.
Well?
Britt strides away.
Colleen, how about it?
I don't know. It was mighty close, wasn't it, boys?
Close? What do you mean, close? You all got eyes. You saw what happened. I won.
The men look away uncertainly. Wallace strides over to Britt.
You tell him. I won, didn't I?
You lost.
Britt ambles back over to the fence and sits down, sipping from a cup. Wallace strides over to him and kicks his boot.
You're a liar.
Britt lowers his hat over his eyes.
I said you're a liar. I said you're a coward and a liar.
Britt doesn't stir.
Get up. Let's do it for real. Get up! Get up, I said! So help me, I'll let you have it right where you are.
Wallace has fired both shots into the ground. Britt nonchalantly raises his hat, then gets up and strides over to his place by the fence. Wallace heads over to his place by the train.
Call it!
I don't want nothing to do with this.
Call it!
Now drop it, Wallace. Forget it.
Get away from me.
Britt fixes Wallace with an impassive stare, his knife clutched in his right hand. Chris and Vin watch with tense expressions.
Call it.
The cowboy raises his gun into the air. He fires. Before Wallace can get off a shot, Britt throws the knife, burying it in his chest. Grimacing in pain, Wallace slumps to the ground. The men rush over to him. Britt picks up his saddle from the ground and walks away. He notices Chris and Vin.
Britt? Chris? I have a word with you.
Later that night, Chris and Vin saunter into a quiet saloon where the Mexicans are waiting at a table.
Did you have any luck?
Found a man who would have been perfect. Gun or knife, you couldn't want any better. Wasn't interested.
Money? It wasn't enough?
He doesn't give a hoot about money.
A man in this line of work who doesn't care about money?
Men in this line of work are not all alike. Some care about nothing but money. Others, for reasons of their own, enjoy only the danger.
And the competition.
If he's the best with a knife and a gun, with whom does he compete?
Himself.
Chico bursts through the saloon doors.
You!
He points at Chris and staggers drunkenly towards him.
I've been looking for you!
Uh-oh. Now, what do we got here?
Never mind. He knows. Clap hands, he says. Clap your hands, and let's see how fast you are. Clap hands. Man comes to him, cause respects him. Cause you'd be proud to work with him.
He makes me look like 2 cents with some damn kid's game.
Hey, kid, that's enough of that.
Do stay away from me, will you?
Sitting at a nearby table, Harry and O'Reilly watch the kid with curious frowns.
Come on now. And let's see how fast you are. And no games, huh? No flopping hands, none of that stuff. Just raw. Come on. Come on, Va!
Campesino, come on.
Campesino to me? You get out of my way, you dirt farmer!
Chico whips out his gun and points it at Harry. Harry rises from his seat, but O'Reilly puts a hand on his shoulder and he sits back down. Chico turns around frantically, his face taut with tension.
You don't think I mean it, huh? You think I'm just talking, huh?
Chris turns away from him. Chico fires into the air. Chris puts his cigar into his mouth with an indifferent expression.
Hey, get up. Do you hear me? Get up and face me! Do you hear?
Chris, perfectly stone-faced, stares into space. Harry and O'Reilly watch with somber faces. The kid looks down with a defeated expression, and Harry shuffles through his playing cards. Ben takes a sip of his drink. Chico collapses onto the bar. He lets go of his gun, and it lies on the bar, inches from his outstretched fingers. He looks at the barman.
Give him a gun, huh?
Chico collapses onto the floor. Chris saunters over to the bar.
Sorry this happened, friend. Let him sleep it off. When he wakes up, let him have his gun back. Give him a drink.
Britt's standing by the door.
I changed my mind.
Ven looks at Chris and holds up four fingers. At the hotel reception desk...
There's a man waiting in your room. Said he was a friend of yours.
Ven and Chris exchange suspicious looks. They make their way along the porch until they're standing outside the hotel room door. Chris gently pushes it open, revealing a man sitting on the bed.
Remember me?
Chris steps inside, looking grim.
Yep.
You need men for a job in Mexico.
That's right.
How long?
4-6 weeks.
And how to do it? How much does the job pay?
I thought you were looking for the Johnson brothers.
I found them. How much does the job pay?
20. We leave tomorrow.
I'll have the money before I leave. It'll just take care of my last 2 days' rent.
$20? You must be living in style.
Yes. I have the most stylish corner of the filthy storeroom out back. That and one plate of beans. $10 a day.
Yeah, things do get kind of high when they find out you're on the run.
There's a dry wash south of town. Pick me up there.
The man, Lee, heads out. Chris holds up six fingers, but Vin raises a wavering hand.
He's a good gun. We aren't heading for a church social.
Riding on horseback, Chris leads the Mexicans and the hired guns along a dusty trail with mountains behind them and a blue sky overhead. Ben and Britt notice a lone rider in the distance.
Chris?
Yeah. You picked us up a dog.
Any idea who it is?
Yeah, that kid from the saloon.
Won't take no for an answer.
Doesn't show much sense, does he?
The riders file across a rocky hillside strewn with boulders and dotted with twisted, wiry trees. The lone rider appears off to the side. Harry looks round and rubs the back of his neck.
I'm getting a stiff neck keeping track of him.
If you can't forget him, why don't you ride side saddle?
Ah, well. He won't last much longer.
That's so.
Riding out there in all that dust and heat. What a chucklehead.
Yeah. Not smart like us.
Yep.
Chris and Vin smile wryly. Later that night, the men are sitting round a campfire.
Suppose our friend over there's got anything to eat for himself?
How about I go over there and bring him some?
It isn't food he's hungry for.
Well, then let me tie a can to his tail. Right now, he's like an itch I can't scratch.
Leave him alone. It's a free country.
And it's his.
The next day, the gang are crossing a river on horseback. Chico is standing in a shallow stream. Slowly, he lowers his hand into the water. He grabs a fish, a triumphant smile spreading across his face, then throws his catch onto the muddy bank, along with another that he's already caught. Meanwhile, the men are crossing another stream.
You know, it's funny. Now that he's gone, I kind of miss him.
Chris notices some fish hanging from a branch. He smiles at Vin, then notices Chico sitting by the bank near a campfire, roasting a fish on a spit. Chico glances over at them and raises his stick. Chris smiles and waves him over. Chico points at him with a smile and beckons him with a wave of his own. Now the men continue crossing the stream in single file. Chico's at the back. The gang head across a field surrounded by green trees and a mountain range in the distance. They head towards the Mexican village. They arrive at the narrow pass under the twisted tree on the path that leads down into the village. Their horses' hooves kick up swirls of dust as they approach slowly. They enter the village. Chris glances around wearily, the place apparently deserted.
Where is everybody?
Where are they, Tomas?
Luis! Asuncion! Demetrio!
Emilio! Sotero! What kind of reception is this?
Come out! Come out and make them welcome before we die of shame!
Hilario, stop your shouting!
The old man emerges from a cantina, Sotero standing behind him with his arms folded.
Do they call this welcome? What are they thinking of?
Come in, you must be thirsty. You must excuse them. They're farmers here. They're afraid of everyone and everything. They're afraid of rain and no rain. The summer may be too hot, the winter too cold. The sow has no pigs. The farmer is afraid he may starve. She has too many pigs. He's afraid she may starve.
There's no need to apologize. We didn't expect flowers and speeches.
Tomorrow is the anniversary of the founding of the village. They will be celebrating. Then you will see them in a better light.
A bell's clanging on the church tower. The villagers run out of their houses. They run into the village center. Sotero looks angry.
Who sounded the alarm? Who sounded the alarm?
They gather around the tower. Chico is standing on the tower by the bells. Chico disappears and a moment later emerges from the church.
Thank you, amigos, for coming out to greet us. Thank you for letting us see your beautiful faces. Thank you, you chickens. You come running out like chickens. We ride for days to get to this nothing in the middle of nowhere. We're ready to risk our lives to help you. And you? You hide from us. Hide from us.
He leaps onto a stone wall.
But it's a different story when you're in danger, huh? You might lose your precious crops. Then you flock to us. Huh? Well, we're here, my compadres and I. And here we stay. And you? You proved to us that you're worth fighting for. Now get back to your houses, back to work. Go on. Go back. We'll let you know when to fight and how to fight. Go back. All of you, go back. Go back!
The old man stifling a laugh. Chico glances round at Chris. A wry smile plays across Chris's face, and he looks round at Vin, then at one of the farmers beside him.
Now we're seven.
The villagers are celebrating. One of them charges around carrying a wooden contraption containing a clay bowl and rigged with a wheel that spins around, sparking with gunpowder. The other villagers clamor around him. Finn and Harry watch nonchalantly while a parade of small girls dressed in white and carrying wreaths of flowers file quietly into the center of the village. Finn.
You know, I've been in some towns where the girls aren't very pretty. As a matter of fact, I've been in some towns when they were done right ugly. This is the first time I've ever been in a town where there's no girls at all. Except little ones. You know, if we're not careful, we can have quite a social life here.
Oh, it's not so bad. I fell in with a fast crowd yesterday that hangs out near the fountain. We got the predicament of weather for today and didn't break up till twilight.
Men dressed in garish masks follow the parade of girls banging drums.
Pare la música! Sigue el otro torito!
The villagers scatter excitedly while the man rigged with the clay bowl charges about. O'Reilly uses a knife to gouge a hole in a hollow stick, then blows into the end. A little girl notices him. O'Reilly looks at her and puts the pipe to his lips. The children glance at him with wary expressions, and the little girl looks away. The little girl looks back. O'Reilly smiles and offers her the pipe. She takes it, then holds her mother's hand and watches the festivities. A boy runs into the village and glances around with an anxious frown. Sitting in the tree, Chico notices him as he takes off in another direction. Chico glances back in the direction the boy had come from. The boy runs over to one of the farmers and whispers in his ear. Then the farmer whispers something to Chris. Looking concerned, Chris places a hand on the farmer's arm, then gets up from the table. Chris heads towards the festivities, followed by the farmer and his son. Finn and Harry get up from their table and come closer. Finn puts on his hat and leans against a wooden post. Chris heads into a stone dwelling. O'Reilly watches him apprehensively and Lee glances round. Britt sleeping against a tree, his hat pulled over his eyes.
Britt. The boys saw three of Calvera's men. The horses are in the arroyo.
Lee!
get one alive.
Yes.
I'll show you where.
Rico, he knows where the arroyo is.
Lee comes outside, pulling on his gloves. Chris watches him for a moment, then heads into the building with the farmer and Rico, his son. Chris approaches O'Reilly and whispers something in his ear. O'Reilly heads off. He walks past the celebrating villagers, looking around warily. Ben tightens his gun belt around his waist. Outside the village, Britt and Lee make their way up a steep hill covered in scrub. They push on through a tangle of bushes and coarse grass. They spot two lone horses at the peak of the hill, then head off in separate directions. Britt peers from behind a tree, seeing that there's a third tethered horse. Lee emerges from some bushes and scans the area. Britt sits on the ground and leans against the tree. Chico scrambles up the hill, gun in hand. Britt notices a flower growing beside him and picks it. Chico lowers himself onto his belly, his gun poised. Britt examines the flower. Back at the village, the villagers dressed in masks are crouching in a circle, and one of their number dances in the middle. He shakes some maracas, then leans down, wearing a goat mask on his head. Chris looks up at the bell tower where O'Reilly's keeping watch. Now two villagers are dancing in the circle. Meanwhile, Britt, sitting by the tree, still scrutinizing the tiny flower. Chico's watching him from a distance, smiling. Lee, standing by a tree, nervously fingering his holstered gun. One of the dancers lies down on the ground, while the others dance around him. Chico is still lying on the ground. Suddenly, two of Calvera's men stride up the hill behind him. Chico turns and shoots one of them. Another bandit appears and Britt shoots him. Chris looks round at the sound of gunfire. One of the bandits rides away.
I'm sorry, Britt. I didn't mean to spoil it.
Britt aims his gun at the fleeing bandit. From a great distance, he shoots him off his horse.
That was the greatest shot I've ever seen.
The worst. I was aiming at the horse.
The villagers take off their masks, revealing anxious faces. Chris throws down his cigar and strides across the village. All eyes are upon him as he turns to the villagers.
Three men were sent by Calvera to spy. It's almost certain they saw us.
Chris looks up at O'Reilly, who holds up three fingers, then makes a thumb down sign three times.
Whatever they learned will be buried with them.
Válgame Dios, if he comes now.
He'd never send men ahead if he was near enough to see for himself. So we have time to get ready. We have something else, surprise. If he rides in with no idea of the reception we can prepare for him, I promise you we'll all teach him something about the price of corn.
Aim. Thump. Squeeze.
Hey, amigo, with a thump.
Cock. Aim. Squeeze. Cock.
Settle down. Now, you miss the first chance, you may not get a second.
Now, get that butt tight in your shoulder. If you don't, two things will happen. One, you'll waste a bullet. Two, you'll break your arm.
Now close your eye. Aim from here to here to the target.
Fire.
That rock?
No, that man you're gonna kill.
The villager shoots the rock with his shotgun.
Bueno.
If only we had more guns. Think what we could do.
You'll get more guns.
How?
Same way you got these. Calvera's man.
The ones who spied on us brought them. Like three kings burying gifts.
Later, some of the villagers carry rocks over to a makeshift wall.
If Calvera does not come now, after all of this, what a waste.
Harry, to the farmers.
A pretty foxy fella, this Calvera, eh?
Senor, not a fox, a coyote.
How did you ever find out about the gold mine?
Gold mine? What gold mine, senor?
You know, the one in the mountains.
In our mountains? We never had a gold mine around here.
Say, come to think of it, it was a silver mine. Whatever happened to it?
We have no silver mine either.
I mean in the old days.
Not at any time. Where did you hear of this gold and silver?
All right, come on, boys. More work, let's talk, huh?
They continue building the wall. Chico's crossing a stream on horseback when he stops, leans over, and splashes a handful of water on his face. Suddenly, he notices a bull standing by a tree. He smiles and gets off his horse. He takes off his waistcoat and approaches the bull. He turns his hat sideways and holds up his waistcoat like a matador. The bull stares at him indifferently.
Stop.
He edges closer to the bull. He gets down on his knees in front of it. He's face to face with the docile bull. It shakes its head and Chico hangs the waistcoat on one of its horns. He takes off the waistcoat, then kisses his hand and touches it to the bull's face. Hearing a twig break, he turns around, gun at the ready, to find that a woman has been watching him from behind a tree. The woman quickly flees. Chico readjusts his hat, then gets up, holstering his gun. Chico puts on his waistcoat and runs back to his horse. He clambers on it and rides away. The woman's running away, following the stream. Chico dismounts behind a tree and grabs hold of the woman as she runs past. She slaps his face.
You do anything to me and I'll kill you. I'll kill you while you're doing it.
You little chicken brain, you almost took my eye out.
Let me go. Let me go.
Oh, you bite me and I'll bite you, so help me. I got a good mind to throw you in the water.
Smash you with a rock.
Stop it.
Get your head up.
Shut up.
He grabs her by the wrist.
Where are the others? Huh?
I'll never tell you.
He heaves her over his shoulders and carries her, struggling, across the stream. Back at the village, the gang are digging a knee-deep ditch with the villagers. Chico rides back towards the village with the woman slumped in front of him over the horse. He draws up and stops in front of the ditch.
Look what I found.
Chico tugs on the woman's shirt, hauling her off his horse.
Who is she?
From our village.
Chris puts on his hat and steps up out of the ditch.
So that's where they were. You hid them.
Sure they hid them. But she won't tell where. They're afraid. She's afraid of me, you, him, all of us. Farmers. The families told them we raid them.
Well, we might. In my opinion, though, you might have given us the benefit of the doubt. But just as you please.
No, as long as you were out there, why didn't you bring them all in?
Well, what for? Leave them out there. Let Calvera find them. He'll take good care of them.
Bring them in. Show them the way.
Ma'am.
Ben raises his hat, then picks her up and throws her back onto the horse behind Chico.
Come on, little angel.
As the black horse leaves, breaking into a canter, Vin watches them go.
Gently, boy. Gently.
Later, they're sitting around a table in one of the homes. The young woman and an older woman serves them a meal. Britt graciously accepts a wooden spoon in a bowl on the table and serves himself. The young woman dishes out food onto Chico's plate, forgetting about Vin. Chico ignores her, picking at his finger. Irritated, the young woman steps around him and slaps down the last spoonful, splashing his face. Vin's watching, frowning with an empty plate.
I can't tell you how wonderful it was for you, senoritas, to fix this very nice dinner for us.
Finn's smile and courtesy has no effect, and she doles out food on his plate with a blank face. O'Reilly arrives and hangs his hat up on a peg.
How's the food?
Great.
Chicken enchiladas, carne asada, and Spanish rice. Looks pretty good.
Yeah, these people really know how to cook. Dig in. There's tons of it.
Well, you know what these people, the villagers, have been eating ever since we got here? Tortillas and a few beans, that's all.
Now, Vin is serving food to children.
Muchas gracias.
De nada.
Gracias.
De nada.
Gracias.
De nada. Say, you don't happen to have an old or grateful sister at home?
No, señor. Muchas gracias.
De nada.
Gun training.
De nada.
One, two, three, four. 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 One, two, three, four.
Squeeze. Miguel, didn't I tell you to squeeze? Just like when you're milking a goat, Miguel.
It's that I get excited.
Well, don't get excited. Now this time, squeeze. Slowly, but squeeze.
Chris comes to watch.
Squeeze. Squee! I'll tell you what. Don't shoot the gun. Take the gun like this, and you use it like a club. All right?
Well.
Flaco!
Muchas gracias.
Now, rope netting is being suspended across the narrow pass at the entrance to the village, between the leafless tree and logs supported by rocks.
Lighter.
The old man is sewing when Chris and Vin arrive on horseback. They swing out of their saddles, dismount and walk up to him on his dusty veranda.
Buenas tardes.
Howdy.
Well, we come to move you into the village.
Move into the village? Me?
Everybody who lives outside.
Oh, no.
Well, we can't protect you if you stay out here.
Fellow named Rojas, he's making room for you in his home.
Rojas? His conversation would bore me to death.
Yeah, well, maybe somebody else.
They are all farmers. Farmers talk of nothing but fertilizer and women. I've never shared their enthusiasm for fertilizer. As for women, I became indifferent when I was 83. I am staying here.
Vin frowns.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do when Calvera comes?
At my age, a little excitement is welcome. Don't worry. Why would he kill me? Bullets cost money.
All right. Have it your way.
You worry about yourself. Are you ready for him? What if he comes now, eh?
Reminds me of that fellow back home that fell off a 10-story building.
What about him?
Well, as he was falling, people on each floor kept hearing him say, "So far, so good. So far, so good."
Vin and Chris gallop up to the low ridge in the pass where the netting has now been hidden. Vin dismounts while Chris stares ahead. Vin walks along the ridge. A sheer rock face looms up beyond him in the distance under the bright blue sky.
First of all, they'll see that ditch.
More water for the corn.
Awful lot of new walls.
Civic improvements.
Hey, Chris. Got that net, eh?
Oh, if he's not looking for it. If he rides in unsuspecting.
If, brother. If.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Calvera is leading his band of men on horseback. They ride together under the shade of trees and up a slight rise. A small boy sees them and gets to his feet anxiously. The bandits are traveling along a narrow path, their horses kicking up clouds of dust. As they pass, the boy takes off his sombrero with a smile. Calvera watches him closely. Some of the passing bandits notice the boy wave his sombrero to a looming rock face. A tiny figure appears and waves back. Now a boy in white spies the signal, scrambles to his feet, and runs off along a stream. The women, washing clothes, stop and watch. The boy scales a dry stone wall and waves his sombrero, signaling to another boy on high ground some distance away, who waves in turn. Chris sees him. Villagers begin appearing from doorways under a row of stone arches. Vin notices the signal. As the men scatter to find firing positions, Vin gestures orders swiftly and leaps back into his horse's saddle. He rides off. Chris stands his ground in the open, near the crumbling front of the rundown church. Looking grim, he unbuckles a hip strap on his holster, allowing for a fast draw as the band of riders approach. They canter over the water-filled ditch, then proceed up a gentle slope and through the narrow pass under the tree. On the other side of the pass, the dusty road takes them straight down into the village. Vin, Chris, and Britt stand waiting amongst the tables under a roof. Britt and Chris step out into the open as the first of the men draw near. Chris looks up at the men coolly. The orange-shirted Calvera looks round at the deserted village as Vin comes to stand near Chris. The riders halt in line in the center of the village.
I should have guessed. When my men didn't come back, I should have guessed. How many of you did they hire?
Enough.
New wall.
There are lots of new walls. All around.
They won't keep me out.
They're built to keep you in.
With a sneer, Calvera signals and a handful of his men spread out on their left side. Chris keeps a calm expression.
You hear that? We're trapped! All 40 of us. By these three. Or is it four? They couldn't afford to hire more than that.
We come cheaper by the bunch.
Five. Even five wouldn't give us too much trouble.
There won't be any trouble if you ride on.
Ride on? I'm going into the hills for the winter. Where am I going to get the food for my men?
Buy it or grow it.
Or maybe even work for it.
Seven. Somehow I don't think you've solved my problem.
Solving your problems isn't our line.
We deal in lead, friend.
So do I. We're in the same business, huh?
Only as competitors.
Why not as partners? Suppose I offer you equal shares.
In what?
Everything, to the last grain.
And the people in the village? What about them?
I leave it to you. Can men of our profession worry about things like that? May even be sacrilegious. If God didn't want them sheared, he would not have made them sheep. What do you say?
Ride on.
Calvera stares intently.
You hear that, Sotero? You hear what he said? Ride on. To me! You tell him to ride on before I become angry. Him and others! Because if I leave here with empty hands, everybody in this village will answer to me when I come back.
You won't come back.
Why not?
You won't have any guns. Take them off right now and drop them.
More of the riders spread out.
Generosity. That was my first mistake. I leave these people a little bit extra and they hire these men to make trouble. It shows you, sooner or later, you must answer for every good deed.
Vin and Chris begin firing and several of Calvera's men fall from their horses. Vin leaps for cover over the cantina's wooden serving counter. As more of the men fall amidst clouds of dust, Chris runs and leaps over a low rock wall. Lee is flattened against a wall with a gloved hand raised, seemingly waiting for precisely the right moment. The large band of men ride hard up the track they came into the village on, but as they reach the pass, the netting is hauled up out of the concealing dirt. It rises, stopping their horses in their tracks. Villagers and the Magnificent Seven continue to expertly pick off members of the gang. They ride through the village over small, dusty plots of land enclosed by low fences. Vin is peering over the serving counter. He rushes out to his horse, grabs the saddle, and as his horse runs, climbs up onto it and rides away. A villager hacks a man off his horse with a curved machete as the man rides past. Others fire from where they've found cover. A man falls from his charging horse, plowing into the dry dirt and vanishing briefly in clouds of thick brown dust. The survivors are now clear of the village and riding hard across the open ground towards the mountains. A grim-looking Vin gives up the pursuit, dismounts, and watches them go. Chris steps out slowly from the building he was shooting from and looks around at the quiet village, clutching his shotgun. Britt shakes empty bullet casings from his pistol. Lee relaxes and lowers his gloved hand, and Chico looks around him. Lee stands up and steps into the sun away from the wall. Villagers emerge and gradually break into smiles. Chico smiles and briskly holsters his pistol.
Safe behind your rock by the net. I was out in the field face to face with them as they rode toward me. 10 of them screaming like devils.
The last time you told it, it was only 5.
He has them multiplying like rabbits.
10.
Chico is dancing around his hat on the ground.
What does it make?
They got a good kick in the behind.
And if they try it again, they'll get another.
We'll tear them to pieces. We'll bury them all.
Calvera, too, will we?
Some are still keeping watch.
Any sign of them?
No. That is bad luck.
Can you imagine? I knew him when he was a mouse.
I was never so frightened in my life. My knees were like jelly.
I would never have guessed it.
Well, he'll leave us alone from now on.
You think so?
Of course. Now go away. There are other villages. Other villages that don't sting the way we do.
Senor!
The happy villagers gather around Chris and Vin. Everyone has drinks.
Neighbors, I drink to our friends. They armed us, fought at our sides, and will forever live in our hearts.
Everyone scrambles for cover. Chris and Vin rush outside.
They haven't gone, then.
Chris, Vin, Britt, and Hilario scramble to shelter behind broken stonework, while O'Reilly and Chico take cover behind a stone arch further ahead.
You see the gun flashing?
No. I may get two of them.
Three.
Chico runs to the other side of the arch.
The kid's gonna get his head blown off.
Chico runs back. He pauses and his black hat is shot off his head. He dives behind a broken wall, and O'Reilly shakes his head.
Chico! Stay put!
He wiggles a finger in the bullet hole.
Three.
Chico scrambles into a crouching position, ready to fire.
O'Reilly, you see them?
They're too far back in the trees.
Chris?
Yeah.
I'm trying to make it up in those rocks. I'll cover you.
Keeping low, Vin, Hilario, Chris, and Britt join Chico.
Chico, cover the back door.
Punching low, Chico runs back. O'Reilly fires covering shots, then he, Chris, and Britt rush forward through the archway, while Vin and Hilario peel off to head in another direction. O'Reilly crouches behind a tree to cover Chris and Britt, who advance up a rocky hillside. Rico and two young friends appear from around a building behind O'Reilly and run over to him. He whirls around.
Get back! Get back! Good! What's the matter with you? Don't you hear so good, huh? Get down now, stay down. Crazy kid, you might have been hurt.
So might you?
It's not the same thing. This is my work.
So are two. Everyone tells us, hide, get back, stay out of sight. But we're not afraid.
He's very brave. It's the truth.
So is he. We all are. Hipper boy in the village. We had a meeting, and we drew straws, and we got you.
You got me? What do you mean you got me?
If you get killed, we take the rifle and avenge you. And we see to it that there's always fresh flowers in your grave.
That's a mighty big comfort.
I told you he'll appreciate that.
Well, now, don't you kids be too disappointed if your plans don't work out.
We won't. If you stay alive, we'll be just as happy. Maybe even happier. Maybe.
Vin and Hilario find shelter under a barren tree. Vin checks his shotgun. Chico is sheltering behind a broken stone wall. Elsewhere, keeping watch, Hilario to Vin.
Can you see them? No.
Hilario rubs his left hand anxiously.
Do your hands sweat before a fight?
Vin chuckles.
Every time. Mine are sweating now. Funny. Hands sweat. Mouth is dry. You'd think it would be the other way around. Does my talking annoy you? It's because I'm frightened, you know.
Yeah, I guess right about now you kind of wish you'd given your crops to Kavir, huh?
Yes. No. Both at the same time.
Yes, when I think of what he might do. No, when I remember the feeling in my chest this morning as I saw him run away from us. Man, that's a feeling worth dying for. Have you ever felt something like that?
Not for a long, long time. I envy you.
The man smiles. The young woman rushes up to Chico.
What are you doing?
You shouldn't do things like you did.
Go back.
You mustn't take foolish chances.
All right, I won't, but go back.
Does it hurt?
What?
She reaches out and touches his cheek, making him flinch in surprise and look at her. As she gazes at him, his face softens.
No.
I'm sorry I did it, but I thought, you know what I thought.
Yes, yes, I know.
I wasn't afraid of you, it's my father. He says stay away from those men. They are brutes, they are cruel.
He's right, you know that? He's right. Go back home now.
He's wrong.
Well, go home anyway, before he finds out you're here.
He already knows. He said he'd punish me for being so shameless. But I don't care.
They got them. They got them all.
This is out.
Do you think they'll try that again?
I doubt it. For all they know, we're still out there ready to jump them.
He didn't go. Calvera didn't go.
Do you think it would be that easy? What do we do now? What do you say?
Me?
Well, we'll work for you, you know.
What else is there to do but wait? It's Calvera's move.
Right. Now you better replace the guards. They must be tired.
If you were Calvera.
Yes?
You'd go away, wouldn't you? If you paid the price we make him pay, you would go?
Yes, I would, only...
Only what?
Only I'm not Calvera.
Take the rifles and the mandoleras and pass them out. Now let's get out there on duty.
Chris gets up off the long table and leaves the room in a pensive silence.
Food, woman. They'll be hungry.
A pair of gun belts and shotguns are cleared away off the table. In another room, Brett dumps a gun and belt loaded with bullets on a table as Chris pours a drink into a glazed clay cup and hands it to him. Brett takes a sip, puts the cup down, then hangs up his hat with a sigh. Chico comes in, and Lee stands in the door.
That was the greatest...
New hat for us, Sonny.
Hey. How do I look, huh?
Big improvement.
Chico goes to look in a mirror wearing the new hat.
You know what? They make up a song about you and this hat. Villages like this, they make up a song about every big thing that happens. Sing them for years.
You think it's worth it?
Don't you?
It's only a matter of knowing how to shoot a gun. Nothing big about that.
Chico notes the somber mood in the others.
Hey, how can you talk like this? Your gun has got you everything you have. Isn't that true? Well, isn't it true?
Yeah, sure, everything. After a while, you can call bartenders and faro dealers by their first name. Maybe 200 of them. Rented rooms you live in, 500. Meals you eat in hash houses, 1,000. Home, none. Wife, none. Kids, none. Prospects, zero. Suppose I left anything out?
Yeah. Places you're tied down to, none. People with a hold on you, none. Men you step aside for, none.
Insults swallowed. None. Enemies. None.
No enemies?
Alive.
Well, this is the kind of arithmetic I like.
Yeah, so did I at your age. Now take these and give them to someone who knows how to use them.
Yes.
While you're at it, why don't you ask Calvera what he has in mind for tonight?
Yes, do that. And I'll write a song for you myself.
Calvera's men have camped amongst the trees.
Andres, Lorenzo, and Felipe never came back.
That's three.
Armando in the plaza.
That's four.
Now again. A memo in the pass where they were caught by the cursed net.
Malditos. Five and six.
Emilio going over the wall.
Seven.
Jose near the fountain.
Heads turn to Chico as he arrives.
Eight.
Gregorio near the fountain.
The man looks at Chico.
That's nine.
Nine. Fortuno by the water ditch. Rico in the fields where they slashed him to pieces.
That's 10 and 11. Go on.
Talk. Talk. Talk.
Calvera.
They're all dead anyway. Forget about them. There's still plenty of us here to make them pay. Our friends down below.
Chico lights a match for Calvera's cigar. Lee thrashes about in bed. He gets out of bed and lurches across the room. Two villagers enter. He stumbles into the corner of the room.
It's all right. You're all right. You had a dream. Just a bad dream.
Lee opens his eyes slowly, and one of the men lights a lamp.
Have no fear.
Have no fear. My very words. 10,000 times a day.
Senor, don't punish yourself.
A man who has fought so many times, you must have great courage.
Lee has a bottle tied to his right wrist and gets to his feet. He now holds his gun in his right hand.
Till the day you lose your nerve, you feel it. And then you wait. For the bullet in the gun that is faster than yours.
Senor, don't.
And the lies you tell to fool yourself. No enemies. A lie. I have lost count of my enemies.
But you are with friends now.
Yes. The final supreme idiocy. Come in here to hide. The deserter hiding out in the middle of a battlefield.
He looks down at three flies crawling over the table and snatches at them. He stares at his closed left fist, then opens it, releasing a fly.
One. There was a time when I would have caught all three.
The two men head for the door and look back.
We know what fear is. We live with it all our lives.
Only the dead are without fear.
They leave Lee staring wistfully at the lamp's flickering flame. A woman steps outside into the night.
So pretend we're asleep, and then we'll be back on duty. All right, Bernardo?
Yes, but not you, Juan.
You're too young. Come
Chris walks up behind O'Reilly.
Bernardo O'Reilly. You've been adopted.
It's my real name. Mexican on one side, Irish on the other, and me in the middle.
Inside, Harry has three jugs.
Now watch carefully. Here we go. See? All three right side up.
Oh.
Think you can do it?
Of course. That's very easy.
Would you care to make a friendly wager? A little bet?
Senor, you know we have no money.
Well, it doesn't have to be money. Whatever you happen to have hidden away. Buried out where Calvera can't find it. Like jewels.
Jewels?
Yeah. They tell me a lot of precious stones have been dug out of the mountains. Opals, emeralds, sapphires.
Oh, yes, yes, that's very true. There's no denying it.
Well, then.
Vin and Britt are listening in over their card game.
No, 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 you got it all wrong. When you're finished, they should all be right side up like this.
Let me try it again, eh?
As Harry hands over the jugs, Chris steps inside.
About those precious stones. Where are they found?
As you say, senor, in the mountains.
All right, but where in the mountains?
That I couldn't tell you. Ah, there, I got it! Hey,
all right, never mind that, never mind that. Why can't you tell me?
Because I never have found any precious stones. Wait, you mean Aztec treasure buried in the hills from when the Spaniards came?
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Aztec treasure.
You found some around here?
Would to God we had. I would not be sitting here. I'd be living in a big city in a palace.
Well, then tell me this. How come Calvera keeps hanging around here?
Calvera. We've seen the end of him. He'll be gone in the morning.
No, he will not.
Chico.
He won't go anywhere.
Why do you say that?
Calvera isn't worried about food for winter. He's worried about the food his men haven't eaten for the last 3 days. Price of corn is going up. They're starving.
How do you know?
Starving and broke.
How do you know?
Oh. I've been up there. Well, we better be ready for them. Because they gotta die or win.
Válgame Dios, if they do win.
They won't win.
Are you God that you can say for sure?
We're surrounded, outnumbered. What are we to do?
Keep on fighting.
You want to see us killed off one by one? That is not what you were hired for.
Once you start, there's no stopping. You understood that, and I told him.
I don't care. Go away. All of you, get on your horses and go.
Let Calvera have the food.
Give him what he wants. At least we'll be alive.
Quiet! And listen to me.
No. It is easy for them to say fight. They have no sons, no daughters, no wives. Go. Now, before it's too late.
Chico puts down his drink and marches over to Chris.
Is that what you want? Answer me. Who is for going on and who is for giving up? I want to know now.
Everyone bar Sotero walks over to join Chris and his men.
Don't be fools! You'll turn our village into a graveyard. Tell them to go. It's the only thing for them to do.
I'll tell you what I can do. I can kill the first man who so much as whispers a word about giving up. The very first man, so help me, I'll blow his head off.
Chris walks outside, and Harry and Britt follow. Stepping towards the door, Finn looks back with some concern at Chico, who hasn't moved. Eventually, Chico breaks off the icy glare he's been aiming at Sotero and follows the others outside.
We started this fight, and we're gonna finish it! With or without you.
Entering the other room, Chris sits down at the head of the long table and waits for the other men to join him. Vin fixes him with an authoritative stare.
I'm not saying we bit off more than we can chew, but I do say this. We ought to have a serious talk right now along the lines of what we're going to do.
We start acting like we had some good sense. Now, we figured to raise the ante just enough to make Calvera play someplace else.
Well, we figured wrong. We didn't figure on being the only game in town.
A man can't call them all.
I didn't say he could. All I'm saying is that sometimes you bend with the breeze or you break.
You want to go?
Well, there comes a time to turn Mother's picture to the wall and get out. The village will be no worse off than it was before we came.
You forget one thing.
We took a contract.
It's not the kind any court would enforce.
That's just the kind you've got to keep.
It's a noble thought, but the way things are right now, I don't know.
The odds are too high.
Much too high.
Can we go?
No. We'll lower the odds.
Right up into the hills. Past the men on guard. And right into their camp. I sat there. I smoked a cigarette with them. We discussed a few things. All of a sudden, there was Calavera himself. Right beside me. When I brought back the news, you should have seen the look I got from Britt and from Chris. They have seen a thing or two in their time and done them, too. They're not men you can impress easily, oh, no. But when they looked at me, I knew I was one of them at last.
The young woman puts her hand on Chico's shoulder, making him nervous.
You'd better take a look at me, too. Am I the kind of man who'd live in a place like this? Digging my life away out in the fields? Me, a farmer, a peasant? You know what I'm saying, eh? Wherever they go, Chris, Vin, Britt, the others, I go with them. And if you think you or anything you do could make me change my mind, forget it. I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that. This.
Unable to resist her advances, Chico kisses her passionately on the lips.
We'll get you nothing but this.
Chris has been joined by the farmers.
We're going to hit Calavera. Maybe drive off some of his horses. Like that, if he attacks, he'll be on foot.
I'll go with you. I know every rock.
Now you stay. You're in charge here.
You can count on me.
I know I can.
Now the posse's on horseback, driving forward under the cover of darkness towards Calvera's camp. As they near the camp's location, Chris gives the nod for the men to dismount, and they continue on foot. Moving stealthily through the forest, Harry has his shotgun drawn and ready to fire. But just as he and the others are poised to strike, they find themselves standing at the edge of a deserted forest clearing.
They've left here at the village.
No. You'd have heard shots.
They've gone.
They look at each other in collective bewilderment. Returning to the village, the men find it eerily quiet. Calvera emerges from a building.
Buenas noches.
Appearing at windows and on roofs, Calvera's men soon have the Magnificent Seven surrounded. Chico looks like he's about to try something.
You'll be dead. All of you. Like that. If that's what you want.
Do we have a choice?
Of course. Sit down. Let's talk. Things are turned around now, huh? You're wondering how. Your friends, they don't like you very much anymore. You force them to make too many decisions. With me, only one decision. Do what I say. You should not be surprised. My good friend, Sotero, he arranged to let me come in. Comprende? Well, anyway, to business. I could kill you all. You agree?
Calvera's gaze is met by looks of resignation on the faces of each of the hired guns.
Well, you don't disagree. Anyway, I don't want to kill you.
Why so generous?
Practical. They hear about it up north. Maybe some friends of yours make more trouble for me. A man who never wants no trouble. We have a saying here. A thief who steals from a thief is pardoned for 100 years. All right, what does that leave? Only one thing. I pardon you. Right on.
Just like that?
Just like... I'll make it easy for you. You want food? Give them food. Water? All right, water. Horses? Saddled and waiting. Guns? The gun belts you take off and put here now.
He points to the table in front of him. Chris turns to the villagers.
What about these people?
What happens to these people will happen to them whether I kill you first or not.
Calvera gets to his feet and looks Chris in the eye.
Just a little gesture, huh? Show these people who the real boss is. You go, then I give you the guns back. I know you won't use those guns against me. Only a crazy man makes the same mistake twice.
Giving his men the nod, Chris removes his gun belt and drops it onto the table. Britt doesn't disguise his frustration as he follows suit. A satisfied smile spreads across Calvera's face.
What I don't understand is why a man like you took the job in the first place. Why, huh?
I wonder myself.
No, come on, tell me why.
Like a fella I once knew in El Paso, one day he just took all his clothes off and jumped in a mess of cactus. I asked him the same question, why?
And?
He said it seemed to be a good idea at the time.
Locking eyes with Chris, Ven eventually gives up his gun. Now, only Chico is armed. Seeing him becoming agitated, Chris takes a step towards him and swings a fist in time to prevent him pulling his gun on Calvera. He adds it to the other weapons, and Chico reluctantly takes off his gun belt.
Good. Go get your clothes, your saddlebags, anything you want, take it. Your friends in there owe you at least that much. Santos, pick up the carbines. Cirilo, the guns.
Later, Chris is looking deeply forlorn as he and Vin step into the dining room to collect their thoughts.
You know, the first time I took a job as a hired gun, a fella told me, Vin, you can't afford to care. There's your problem.
One thing I don't need is somebody telling me my problem.
Like I said before, that's your problem. You got involved in this village and the people in it.
You ever get tired of hearing yourself talk?
The reason I understand your problem so well is that I walk in the same trap myself. Yeah. First day we got here, I started thinking. Maybe I could put my gun away, settle down, get a little land, raise some cattle. Things that these people know about me, my credit wouldn't work against me. I just didn't want you to think you were the only sucker in town.
Chris seems pleasantly surprised by Vin's compassion. O'Reilly's getting his things together when Riku and his friends run to join him.
Can we go with you, Bernardo?
No.
You like us, don't you?
I guess so.
You're one of us, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm one of us, all right.
Take us with you, please.
No.
We're ashamed to live here. Our fathers are cowards.
O'Reilly pulls the boy over his knee and spanks him.
Don't you ever say that again about your fathers, because they are not cowards. You think I'm brave because I carry a gun? Well, your fathers are much braver because they carry responsibility. For you, your brothers, your sisters, and your mothers. And this responsibility is like a big rock that weighs a ton. It bends and it twists them until finally it buries them under the ground. And as nobody says they have to do this, they do it because they love you and because they want to. I have never had this kind of courage. Running a farm, working like a mule every day with no guarantee will ever come of it. This is bravery. That's why I never even started anything like that. That's why I never will.
Standing with his head bowed, Lee checks his empty pocket before fastening his bag.
You're doing much better on the other side of the border. There you can steal cattle, hold up trains. All you have to face is sheriff, marshal. Once I rob a bank in Texas, your government get after me with a whole army. Whole army! One little bank. It's clear the meaning? In Texas, only Texans can rob banks.
Sitting on horseback, the seven comrades are in no mood for jokes.
Adios!
Chris leads the men out of town. Surrounded by armed guards, the villagers can only watch helplessly. Chico looks over his shoulder at the men Calvera has sent to show them out of town. On reaching a clearing, Chris stops his horse and waits for Calvera's men to pull up alongside him. One of them drops a bundle of guns onto the ground.
Adios!
The man and his partner head back towards town. Chico dismounts.
I could have told you that, Salazar.
Britt and Chris pick up their gun belts and secure them around their waists.
Farmers. Farmers.
No honor, no loyalty, nothing.
All they care about is their precious crops and the miserable dirt they dig in. I hate them. I hate them all.
Sure you hate them. Because you come from a village just like that one. You yourself are a farmer.
Yes. Yes, I'm one of them. But who made us the way we are, Men with guns. Men like Calvera and men like you. So what do you expect us to be?
Chris looks over at Britt as he holsters his gun.
Nobody throws me my own guns and says run. Nobody.
It took me a long, long time to learn my elbow from a hot rock. Right now I belong back in that border town, sleeping on white sheets. Go right back to that village.
You're crazy, all of you. They will lift a finger to help. Think of the odds.
Harry, nobody's asking you to go back.
Ride on, Harry. It's all right.
Bet your sweet life I will.
Harry grabs his shotgun and climbs onto his horse.
Come on, Lee. They want to get killed? Let them.
Go ahead, Lee. You don't owe anything to anybody.
Except to myself.
Lee lowers himself off his horse and walks over to join the others. He picks up his gun.
You're crazy. All of you. Come on, let's go.
Harry rides off alone. Dawn. A head appears over the top of a rock, and Chris slowly makes his way down towards the outskirts of the village. His shotgun's drawn. Standing on higher ground, O'Reilly's acting as a lookout as Vin silently approaches a doorway. Britt and Chico take up positions behind cover and wait. After checking to make sure that they're loaded, Vin keeps his guns holstered as he moves cautiously through a stable. Appearing at a doorway, one of Calvera's men spots Vin and draws. Vin guns him down, but he's faced by more of Calvera's men. Chris and O'Reilly join the battle. Britt breaks his cover to stop a running gunman in his tracks. Emerging from behind a stone wall, Chico goes for broke and tears into a building with guns blazing. Making it through to the other side of the building, he returns to the wall and ducks for cover. Calvera runs outside and finds himself surrounded by gunfire, just as Chico bursts into another building through one door and emerges into the street through another. Diving behind a wall, he exchanges fire with an opponent, then runs off. Taking fire from all angles, Vin takes a hit to the leg, but is able to fight on. Meanwhile, Chris holds up in a doorway as he becomes hopelessly outnumbered. Seeing him run out of ammo, Calvera makes a dash towards Chris, but is forced to throw himself to the ground when he comes under fire from Chico and O'Reilly. Harry comes riding into town. His horse falls from under him, and Harry's sent tumbling to the ground. As he gets to his feet, he's shot. Chris and Vin help him into a building, while O'Reilly and Britt provide covering fire. O'Reilly's hit. As Calvera and his men begin ramming the door of the building, O'Reilly drops down from his position on the roof and takes up his gun. Chris is cradling Harry in his arms.
Chris.
Yes, Harry.
I hate to die a sucker. We didn't come here just to keep an eye on a lot of corn and chili peppers, did we? There's really something else all the time, wasn't there?
Yes, Harry. You had it pegged right all along.
I knew it. What was it?
Gold. Saxon.
Oh, sounds beautiful.
At least a half a million.
Back up, what do we want?
About 70,000.
Harry slips away.
Maybe you won't be.
While Chris takes care of the gunman shooting at them from one window, Vin heads to the rear of the building and returns fire from another. Meanwhile, backing up against the wall of the jailhouse, Lee looks down at his gun and decides to holster his weapon. Ah! Walking over to a door, he takes a step back and kicks. The three guards inside the jail offer little resistance, and the five prisoners are free to escape. Calvera leaves his men breaking through the door to head around the side of the building. Sotero's watching as a group of villagers charge at Calvera's men wielding furniture and farming equipment and quickly overpower them. Also watching the battle, Lee suddenly takes a bullet from nowhere. Thrown face first against a wall, he slumps to the ground. A farmer throws a knife into a gunman's chest, and a young woman lays another out by striking him on the head. A man has an axe buried in his back, while another falls off his horse after taking a bullet from O'Reilly's gun. Holding his gun to a window, Calvera is just about to pull the trigger when Chris turns and shoots. Firing his gun as he's thrown back, Calvera slumps to the ground against a post on the veranda. When Chico runs to stop a gunman escaping on a horse, Sotero and two friends decide they've seen enough. Picking up a stool, Sotero joins the battle. The man on the horse is pulled to the ground and beaten. Seeing two more gunmen tearing through the village on horseback, Chico manages to yank one of them onto the ground and climb onto the horse. Chris walks over to a wounded Calvera.
You came back for a place like this. Why? A man like you. Why?
The look of bewilderment on Calvera's face fades as his eyes glaze over and his head slumps to one side. Taking out three of Calvera's men as they try to escape on horseback, Britt suddenly ducks behind a wall and emerges with a bullet wound on his chest. With his last ounce of strength, he throws his knife at the wall, then collapses. Having moved into the open to shepherd the boys to safety, O'Reilly can do nothing about the bullet with his name on it until it sends him reeling. The boys gather around him.
We didn't mean to do it. We didn't mean to do it.
O'Reilly looks over at the villagers.
You see? I told you. You see your fathers?
They're wounded and battle weary.
What's my name?
Bernardo.
Bernardo!
You're damn right.
He collapses, face down in the dirt. Chris surveys the scene of carnage surrounding him. While sitting on horseback, Chico looks drained by his experiences. Chris spots Britt lying face down on the ground and walks over to him. Noticing the knife stuck in the wall beside him, he removes it and folds away the blade. Now, the farmers are back at work in their fields, and Chris, Chico, and Vin are preparing to leave the village.
You could stay, you know. They wouldn't be sorry to have you stay.
They won't be sorry to see us go either.
Yes. The fighting is over. Your work is done. For them, each season has its tasks. If there were a season for gratitude, they'd show it more.
We didn't get any more than we expected, old man.
Only the farmers have won. They remain forever. They are like the land itself. You helped rid them of Calvera. the way a strong wind helps rhythm of locusts. You're like the wind, blowing over the land and passing on. Vayan con Dios.
Adios.
The three friends head out of town. As they pass the outskirts of the village, Chico's eyes meet the young woman's, but neither of them make a move towards the other. Reaching the edge of the village, they stop. Chico stares at the young woman, who gazes back at him. Chris turns to Chico and gives him a nod.
Adios.
Looking back at his true love, Chico considers, then smiles.
Adios.
The young woman's with a group of other women harvesting corn as Chico rides back into town. She hears him climbing off his horse behind her, and at first, she doesn't dare turn around. When she finally looks round, Chico takes off his gun belt, drapes it over his shoulder, and rolls his sleeves up. She resumes her task with a heartwarming smile.
The old man was right. Only the farmers won. We lost. We always lose.
Chris spots the three boys walking over to four fresh graves and removing their hats as they kneel down beside one in particular. Laying down a bunch of flowers, they each cross themselves and begin to pray. The old man watches with a grateful smile as Chris and Vin turn their horses under the gnarled tree and ride off side by side into the wilderness.